Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 16th podcast on SportsTalkChicago.com. My name's John Zgul, owner and operator of the site. Before we get to our special guest, I just have a few quick announcements. Make sure to hit me up personally on Google+, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all at John Zags. Also, make sure to follow the website's Twitter page, at Chi Talk Sports, where you could find updates about what has been posted. Are you seeking to find a good gift for possibly a birthday party or a housewarming party? If you've said yes to those questions, make sure to go to Moochie World, a peculiar place, the gift shop at the Tinley Park Downs Shopping Center. It's located at 7913 171st Street in Tinley Park, Illinois. To call, you could call the number 773-796-8224. That is 773-796-8224. Now, before I introduce today's special guest, I'd like to discuss the Bulls because, as you may know, our special guest will be talking about that. So let's talk about the team this year. As we know, they did not make the playoffs. They went 42-40. This is the first year since the 07-08 season in which the Bulls missed the playoffs. And if you do remember, that was the year in which Scott Skiles was subsequently fired and Jim Boylan led the team under an interim role. Now, there were many problems this year for the team. I mean, first of all, Joakim Noah was out for the year in the very beginning with a plethora of injuries, so the Bulls lost a rebounding edge and also a nice inside score. We also have to discuss Derrick Rose and his future, and I've mentioned before that he personally needs to ramp up production or else he could find himself without a job. And what I've said is that I believe Derrick Rose should be cut by the Chicago Bulls, and I think, as a veteran, he should latch onto a team, sign for the veterans minimum, and prove himself again. And one specific statistic about Rose that kind of strikes my eye is the fact that this season he posted career lows in free throws made per game as well as free throw attempts per game. So what does this mean? Well, simply, it means that Rose is not driving to the basket anymore. He thinks he is a very good perimeter shooter and also a good outside shooter when, in reality, his specialty is to drive to the basket, draw a foul, and make some free throws. This year, he didn't do it, and of course, those injuries that he had beforehand are probably barring him and scaring him from doing it once again, but if he wants to become a good player, he's going to have to do that. And I looked online and found a very interesting statistic on the team itself. This is the NBA team three-point rate statistics. So this is how many times a team decides to put up some threes and shoot some points. One is Houston and two is Golden State. Now, where do the Bulls fall on this list? 24th in the league. That just goes to show how I believe, in my opinion, the Bulls need to start shooting more three-point shots rather than drive to the basket and draw fouls, because as we've seen this year, that approach just simply isn't working. Now, who can we trace these behaviors back to? It's head coach Fred Hoiberg. Again, Hoiberg is a guy who apparently, as from what I've seen, does not like to shoot threes and instead likes to move the ball, drive to the basket, and draw fouls. I'm sorry to say, Coach Hoiberg, but it's not working. You need to find a new approach. Now, if anyone doesn't want to take my word for it, that's okay, because our special guest today is an accomplished Bull himself, having played with the Bulls for years before going to the Knicks, the Magic, and finally the Los Angeles Lakers. Please give a warm welcome to former point guard Chris Duhon. Hello, everybody, and again, welcome back to the podcast. We have Chris Duhon here live by phone. Chris, how you doing today, and thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
First of all, Chris, I'd like to reflect on your career specifically for the Bulls. How did you feel about becoming the leader of such a young Bulls team, and how did you handle the pressure associated with the position?
I mean, I enjoyed my time there in Chicago. Being drafted, we were, a very, very young team, and, the organization was, struggling for a little bit. They were going through a down period, had made the playoffs in a couple of years, and with the Leah Show, Coach Skiles, and again, we were very, very young. I mean, we just went out there, we played very, very hard, every night, and to accomplish, being able to, make the playoffs, that my rookie year was a feat in itself, just knowing that the expectations were not that high for us, and just to be an experience playing for the city of Chicago, which has one of the best fan bases in the world. It was just an honor and privilege to be able to be a part of that organization.
And you mentioned the playoffs. Now, out of the 9 seasons that you have played in, you were a part of an amazing 6 different playoff teams. So what are some key differences when comparing the regular season to the playoffs, and how did you mentally handle the increased importance of those playoff games?
Well, I mean, I think the main thing is that the intensity goes up. There's great focus because, one, you're just focused on one team. And you kind of get the advantage of, knowing what they like to do the most, kind of get an advantage as far as individual players, kind of what they like to do to where you can have a game plan going in. And then, it's kind of everyone's playing for their lives. So, during the regular season, you may catch, teams from time to time where, either on a back-to-back or just in the season where they just don't have it that day where you can, get by with a win to where in the playoffs, everyone's pretty much fresh and, they're going out and playing because, they know they don't want their season to end. So just the focus and the preparation going into the playoffs and then the intensity when the game starts, it's just completely different, and it's fun to be a part of.
Now, let's talk about your collegiate career for a moment, because, I mean, you were a very successful player in college, as you currently hold the all-time record for steals and minutes played at Duke University. You've been declared the 2nd winningest player in ACC history, which also gains viability with the fact that you are an NCAA champion. How do you feel about your historical collegiate career where you received national exposure at such a young age?
Well, I mean, it was an honor and a blessing to be a part of that. Duke University is a great university, and I enjoyed my time there. Obviously, you don't have to, talk about Coach K's credibility and, what he's accomplished, but to have the opportunity to play underneath him for 4 years and just the camaraderie and family atmosphere that he creates, it's something that I'll never forget, and it still lives on today. I mean, I'm still in contact with a lot of the guys that I've played with, and Coach does a great job of, keeping us all together and also, building relationships with the older and even newer generation. So, I'm very blessed and pleased to, have a great 4-year career there, and, something I'll never forget.
And now currently, Chris, you serve as an assistant coach for the Marshall University men's basketball program. In your first year with the team did finish 11-21, but this year they finished with a promising 17-16 record and a loss in the CUSA semifinals. So what have you done personally to improve the team, and what are your expectations heading into the next year?
Well, I mean, when you inherit a team, you kind of don't have the guys for the most part that fits your style of play. So kind of our first year was kind of, just kind of trying to get through it as best as we can. We kept the guys that we had there. And again, we didn't have particularly, from top to bottom, the type of guys that we wanted that fits our style of play. The guys that we have, great guys, and we love them. And wish nothing but the best for them, but they, for the most part, most of them didn't fit the way that we were trying to play. And then we're fortunate to bring in a few more guys this following year. And our only struggle, our main point guard was out the first 10 games of the season. So we got off our 9 games, excuse me. And so we started off 0-9. But when he got back, we kind of got it going a little bit, and we made a good run. I think we wore it down at the end, but we're very confident and excited about the future for this team. We're moving in the right direction. My personal role is kind of the player development, and I do a lot of the basketball part I mean, as far as, you know, game planning and putting in the offense, putting in the defense, just kind of getting the guys seeing the game better and quicker and faster on both ends of the court. Just trying to get them to be as good as players as they can be.
And let's talk about the current Bulls team for a moment. This year, it's been the first time since the 07-08 season where the Bulls have missed out on the playoffs. And as you may know, this was also the first year in which Fred Hoiberg was the head coach. In your opinion, who is to blame for this disappointing season? Is it Fred Hoiberg or is it the team itself?
It's tough. Coaching, as now being a party on the other side, you kind of have more of understanding and respect for, you know, what those guys go through, or I guess you could say what we go through now. Understanding that you're going to take a lot of the blame for losses, and, you know, you're going to take a lot of credit for most wins most of the time. I mean, I think, you know, it was unfortunate that, you know, they went through a lot of injuries, and, a lot of injuries to key players to their success, to where they couldn't really find a rhythm or some consistency as far as lineups, you know, day in and day out. Like, you know, you pretty much didn't know who was going to be available, going into the game. So I think that's kind of tough to put all the weight on a coach. And I think it's also tough to put all the weight on the players. So I just think it's just one of those unfortunate seasons where things didn't kind of just go your way. Now they have the opportunity to kind of, you know, sit back and really, you know, look at their lineup and have a plan for the future to go.
And final question here. I know you're a busy man. You have a lot of, or you don't have a lot of time on your hands. So although you have not played in the NBA since 2013, are you officially retired, or is it possible to witness a Chris Duhon comeback in the upcoming months?
Yeah, I'm officially retired, so don't plan on any comebacks from me. But I still play a little bit and things like that. But I'm very happy where I am right now, and I'm very excited to start this new career path that I'm going through now.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris Duhon, for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And again, everybody, that was Chris Duhon, former point guard of the Chicago Bulls. Thank you for coming on the show. Well, we do have a little time left. We're going to try and get to each and every one of the remaining Chicago sports teams here very briefly and very quickly. To start with the Chicago Cubs, the team is currently 27-9. They have the best record in baseball, and they lead the NL Central Division by a whopping 9 games. Check out tonight's game as the Cubs face the Brewers at Miller Park. Kyle Hendricks will go against Chase Anderson. And something I'd like to point out about the Cubs. What a year it has been. And I was actually recently talking to Len Casper, and he agrees that it has just been such a fantastic season thus far. And what personally amazes me is the fact that the Cubs themselves only have two guys hitting over 300 in their regular starting lineup. Dexter Fowler and Ben Zobrist. Everyone else, you know, a 275 for Bryant, 273 for Rizzo, Addison Russell getting up to nearly 270. The point is, though, that the team is really spreading out the way they're hitting the ball, and more role players are actually doing more of the work. I mean, players like Javier Baez, who ended up hitting that game-winning home run walk-off on Mother's Day. The guy has barely played all year. He's the Cubs' number one reserve player. But nevertheless, that was not Rizzo. That wasn't Bryant or Russell hitting that home run. It was a pinch hitter who came off the bench. The Cubs are finding ways to win, and that truly is a characteristic of a winning team, a possible World Series caliber team. That's the Chicago Cubs. The one thing that's been keeping them in it right now, and I'll say this over and over and over again, it's the starting pitching. Obviously, Jake Arrieta is still under his hot streak from last year. He's still rekindling that fire as he's 7-0. He leads the league in ERA. Now, right behind him in ERA is Jason Hamill and John Lester. Those three pitchers comprise the top six in the ERA for the NL. Then you got Kyle Hendricks, a 3.02 ERA, not bad at all, and John Lackey, 3.51. When averaging out the five starters' ERA, it actually averages out to under 3.0. Bottom line is, the Cubs' pitching will keep them in the race for a possible World Series, and as long as these pitchers keep competing at the level at which they are currently, that you could see the Cubs progressing far into the playoffs. Now we're going to go south and talk about the Chicago White Sox. And they're more of the surprise this year, at least in my opinion. They currently, as well, they lead the AL Central with a 24-14 record. Tonight they're going to face the Astros at 7-10 at home, as Carlos Rodon will take them out against reigning AL Cy Young Award winner Dallas Keuchel. And one thing about the White Sox that's keeping them in it, too, is also their pitching. Surprising enough to say, Chris Sale leads the league right now in wins. He has 8 wins and 8 starts. But somebody who has really stepped it up, in my opinion, is Jose Quintana. Now, I will admit this, he has not been getting a lot of credit these past couple of years. I mean, even last season, an ERA of 3.36 and 32 starts while going 9-10. In this day and age, that is a very good starting pitcher you got there. But this year, he's just been out of control. He's currently 5-2, but his ERA is an AL league leading 1.54. So Quintana, along with Sale at the top of that rotation, is keeping this team in games. Rodon is currently in a bit of a slump with an ERA of 4.99. And finally, Matt Latos, who finished last season 4-10 with a 4.95 ERA, is turning it around. He's 5-0 with a 3.4 ERA. So the Sox have some great pitchers right now, and pitchers who are really exceeding expectations. And in order for them to keep up their hot streak here, they're going to have to keep pitching the way that they've been, which shouldn't be any trouble at all. Now, for offense, the one thing I want to talk about here in this brief period is Todd Frazier. I'm sure everyone remembers the article I wrote about him saying that, hey, he's not going to be that good this year. He's going to be underperforming. Well, I was half right and I was half wrong. I will give him credit. He has 12 home runs and 32 RBIs, which leads the team thus far. Unfortunately, he's hitting a dismal 228 with a horrible 319 on-base percentage. And at this point in his career, I'm going to have to compare him to Adam Dunn. Now, Adam Dunn is a very good power hitter and was a very good power hitter. Unfortunately, he couldn't keep his average up and ended up leading the AL multiple times in strikeouts. Sure, Todd Frazier may hit 30 home runs, may get you 90 to 100 RBIs, but without that batting average, it's really holding him back. So we'll see how Todd Frazier continues to perform. Again, if you want to check out that article, make sure to go to the categories for the Chicago White Sox, and you can see what I said before the season began. Now on to the Chicago Bears, and we're going to talk about here their draft, especially their first-round pick, Leonard Floyd, whom the Bears traded up for in order to receive. He's a very good linebacker out of Georgia, but some interesting news has surfaced about him regarding his weight. Here's a quote from an article. First-round pick Leonard Floyd admittedly had struggled to keep weight on, and so the Chicago Bears designed a strength and nutrition program targeted to bulk up the lanky rookie outside linebacker. And here's a quote from Floyd. I've got prompts set up on my phone of times in the day that I'm supposed to eat. I have to make sure I eat at the times when I get the alarm. He's supposed to eat now every couple of hours. All he has to do is gain weight. He's listed at 6'4", 244 pounds, but his actual weight is around the 230 to 235 range. Now, why is this a problem? The Bears are concerned that Floyd will not weigh enough to compete in the NFL. I mean, he's going to be the new Bears outside linebacker, and the Bears are worried because he may struggle, especially when he's going to have to compete with these bulkier and heavier players here in the NFL. I mean, it's not college football anymore. So it's a story we're going to have to monitor, but even Bears beat writer Jeff Dickerson suggests that it's not something to worry about, especially coming out of the draft. It is common to have players gain or lose a little bit of weight. And considering that the Bears wanted him to be at 240 and he's at 230, a 10-pound difference is not something to fret about. So good luck to Leonard Floyd, and make sure to watch the Bears now as they start OTAs. Finally, on to the Chicago Blackhawks. After their devastating loss in Game 7, the Hawks have agreed to a 3-year deal with 19-year-old defenseman Gustav Forsling. Forsling had 6 goals and 15 assists in 48 games last year for the Swedish Hockey League. On a final note, Patrick Kane, Sidney Crosby, and Jamie Benn were named finalists Saturday for the Hart Memorial Trophy, which is the NHL MVP award. Patrick Kane led the NHL with 106 points this season, and he became the first American-born player to lead the league in scoring. Congratulations to Patrick Kane. Hopefully, he could win this award. The winner will be announced on June 22nd at the league's awards show in Las Vegas. The voting is determined by a poll of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. Now, on to our closing segments, starting with the odd sports story of the day. And here's something really odd coming from Deadspin.com. Currently, there's a legal battle going on between the WACA, the World Adult Kickball Association, and DC Kickball. They're arguing about copyright rights as to whether each league is legitimate or not. My question is, what happened to third grade kickball when we used to play it during recess? I'm surprised that two professional kickball leagues are taking each other to court over a game that is very popular in elementary schools. So that is the odd sports story of the day. Now on to our Punchline of the Day segment. In honor of Chris Duhon being on today's show, I decided to pull up an NBA joke. Question: what's the difference between LeBron James and a tree? The answer: a tree has more rings. Oh. Well, that got LeBron there, and personally, I'm happy we got him in the segment. That was our Punchline of the Day. And finally, on to our most famous segment. It's the Announcer's Call of the Day segment. It's my personal favorite. We've been getting a lot of feedback on it. Everybody seems to like it. So we're going to pull up a nice clip for you folks to listen to. Now let me set the mood here. It's the NCAA 2016 National Championship between North Carolina and Villanova. After North Carolina just made a big 3-point shot, Villanova will have 4 seconds to inbound the ball and take one last desperation shot. Let's listen to what occurs. Chris Jenkins, with nearly 1 second left on the clock, throws up a desperation three, and it goes in at the buzzer. Villanova becomes the national champions. What a game it was. Personally, I saw the game live, and I went crazy once that shot was made by Jenkins. What a game, and really, what a way to illustrate just how crazy college basketball can get. That was your Announcer's Call of the Day. Well, that's it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Again, a special thank you to Chris Duhon. Before we sign off, just a few quick announcements. Follow us on Twitter at ShyTalkSports. Hit me up personally on Google+, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And on a final somber note, I'd like everybody to please say a prayer tonight for my baseball teammate Tyler Coleman. Yesterday during our game, Tyler was pitching, and once the ball was released from his hand, the batter hit it right back and it hit him in the head. Tyler fell immediately to the ground, and there is now internal bleeding in his head. He has been transferred to Lurie's Children's Hospital in the city. So I'd appreciate it, please, if everybody could say a prayer for him. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you again to Chris Duhon, and we'll see you next time.